over to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be there tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And find that chapter and place in your Bible. And we have Pilot's music tonight from two sisters, Emma and Allie, a duet. Come on up and sing. Did you all place with this? Yes, sir. What did you? Fourth place. Good. All right. So we'll enjoy the song. And then I'll get right into that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And ladies, you sing for us. Very good. Song. Appreciate it tonight. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together, and then we're going to pray, okay, in just a little bit. Lord, thank you for the good message, and Lord, help us to be close to you. Help us not to wander away. Although, Lord, like the songwriter said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's our heart, Lord, take and seal it. And I pray tonight that we would draw close to you, especially in these days, by how we need to. Pray that you'll please be with us as we prepare for this important week in our church and for people around the Midwest and some in distant places that are coming. Thank you for the folks here, Lord, have been so helpful. I pray that you please bless the lesson and the prayer time to follow in Jesus' name and amen. It was difficult to I knew the direction the Lord wanted me to go tonight in the lesson, although it was a little bit conflicted as I have watched the events of this week unfold with the of course, Boston Marathon, the bombings out there. I just remind you folks that a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I shared with you that Governor Patrick hosted the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people in the state house as he signed into legislation that bill that that said, you know, if a boy wants to be a girl, nobody can stop him, and if a girl wants to be a boy, nobody can stop her. And put on, that was the most, I don't know if you went home and Googled that and saw pictures of it. It's the most disgusting thing you ever seen in your life. People who were born male and are now somewhat female, people who were born female, now somewhat male, all congregating there and celebrating what God calls an abomination. And see, that's where we are. We've elevated evil and called it good, and we've taken good and drugged that down and made it evil. And I'll tell you, God's not happy, and I don't know when people are going to wake up and realize that. That kind of talk is, you know, not politically correct, but we've never been much interested in being politically correct, okay? So we got troubles. And, you know, you can say what you want, but there's a lot of places that run marathons and a lot of cities that have things going on. But this happened in Boston, right after that humongous perverted celebration they had. Perversion. Okay? And so, you think God did that? I don't know. I just know he allowed it to happen. I know that. And so that's, anyway. And then I'm encouraged by the fact that the Senate voted down the gun bill today, the gun laws. And I haven't heard, I never listened to our president, but I think I might try to catch a YouTuber or some kind of clip tonight to hear him whine. I think I'd enjoy that. Amen. Maybe just turn the sound on for a little bit. And then, but anyway, I'm encouraged by that, but that's not the direction I should go, although I did touch on it just a tad, okay? And so, Lord, have mercy on me, all right? So, but I'm not going that direction. I want to talk about praying for the meeting tonight. We're going to pray. I got my prayer list, and I hope you saved yours somewhere, and all the notes that I made, and I hope you make notes, and I'm encouraged to see people that do. And someday that may be your relative on there. And I feel bad for Brother De La Garza. He got some nice kids, of course, married to Ben. One of the girls is married to Ben Payne, and he's a great guy. I hate to hear that that's gone to his brain. I just hate to hear that. And other things, too, this fellow dying down in Watsika. So we should have prayed for Brother Caleb on Friday. We ought to write that on there. He has a funeral service where there should be several lost people, the funeral of this Leland. So Brother Caleb on Friday, we need to pray for him. Right, Brother Caleb? Friday morning. And I've been in contact with Brother Coral several times over the last few days, just finishing up things. And I know that he started his 30-day fast some days ago. It will end, unfortunately, it'll end at the end of our... There's two times you don't want to have Brother Coral. Right before he goes on his fast and right when he comes off his fast, okay? And he likes food. And before he goes on his fast, he's like a bear, you know, before he goes into hibernation. Eat anything that moves, okay? And when he comes out, he's like a bear that comes out of hibernation. He's just like an old bear, amen? But he's been on his fast and praying. I've fasted some, and not 30 days in a row, but I've fasted some. I know some other people have, and it'd be great if you're able to physically and health-wise between now and Monday, and you can do without even just a meal, and remember to pray. I was fasting today. My wife decided it was a day to cook, and I was studying this afternoon, and the house was filled with the aroma of food. And I thought, well, I guess that's good because it's on my mind, and that's what I do when I fast. When I think of food, I pray. And so I was praying a lot this afternoon, and I know some of you have as well. And I want to talk about praying, but I want to talk about praying in a specific manner for the conference next week. I want us to be very specific in what we ask the Lord for in our prayer tonight. And we're going to get you a little piece of paper here that's going to have the name of two of the speakers at next week's conference on there. We've already prayed for these folks over the last 11, 12, 13 weeks, but we're going to do it again tonight. But a very specific way to pray. Now, look with me, if you will, at verse number 1 of 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering, now notice this, remembering. He's going back and remembering his visit to Thessalonica. Remembering, without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, verse number 5, Paul is recounting his first visit to the city of Thessalonica. That's right. It almost coincided with our Acts study, but we've got to do the last half of chapter 16, that last Philippian jailer story. And then Acts 17 is where he goes to Thessalonica. So we're right there. We're right close and getting ready to study that out. In Acts 17, he goes there, and he's recalling it, okay? And he testifies about the fruit that the gospel message yielded during that visit. Now, in verse number 4 of Acts 17, don't turn to it, but this is what the Bible says there that Luke wrote. And some of them, talking about the Thessalonians, believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Now, listen to this. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. Great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. So there was several of the chief women of the city, you know, and sometimes that's how it is. You know, down at Brother Jason's church here at the beginning of March, he had more females there than he did males. And you see that a lot of times in churches that are getting off the ground and starting. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's an abnormality, because here in Thessalonica, the Bible says of the chief women, not a few. So there was a bunch of the chief women of the city that got saved. So at the Paul's, Luke said in Acts 17:4, there were many saved as a result of the gospel that was preached by Paul and his company. Okay, the preaching yielded great results among the people. Now, Paul is reliving that. He's recalling that. And he mentions here a powerful combination that working together made such an impact among this Gentile people on that second journey taken by Paul into Thessalonica. Now, I want to show you this combination, okay? Beginning in verse number 5, you see the first one here. For our gospel came not unto you in word. There is the first element in the combination. It's the word. You see it in verse number 5. Now, this is referring to the word of God, okay? This is not Paul's word. This is the Bible, the scripture, the word of God. The gospel came through the word. The Word of God is the source from which the gospel was preached. Now remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday, that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we know as the gospel. Okay, that's defined for us in 1 Corinthians 15. But all of that, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Am I overpowering tonight too loud? Does it sound okay to you? Is it louder than normal, or is it okay? Okay, it's okay. All right. If you're tired, you might need a little bit loud. Okay. All right. Now, so the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, the Bible teaches us, is according to the Scripture. Remember that. I took one little element of the death, one element of the burial, and one element of the resurrection that Sunday morning and showed how it came from Old Testament prophecy. Okay. So it was all according to the Scripture. Every detail was according to the Scripture. Now, it is impossible to lead someone to salvation without the Scripture. Now, hang on. But Paul had no complete Bible. Paul had no New Testament at all when he went to Thessalonica. And maybe he had just a portion or two of the parchments that contained the Old Testament Scriptures. Okay? Now, you say, Pastor, you say there that it is impossible to lead someone to salvation without the Scripture. But I've also heard you say in the past that it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. That's true. And that's based on Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Okay? But now listen, folks. When you give the gospel, if you give it correctly, you are, in fact, giving the Scripture, because the gospel is according to the Scripture. Okay? The gospel is laid out for us in the Scripture. Now, and I don't mean just telling us what it is. I mean detailing it. Giving us details about Christ's death. Giving us details about Christ's resurrection. Giving us details about Christ's burial. It's all detailed in the Scripture. Now, you may not have a copy of the Scripture with you. If you have the opportunity to witness to somebody, hopefully maybe you have a gospel tract. But you know what, folks? I wouldn't let not having a Bible or not having a gospel tract keep me from witnessing to someone if the opportunity came up. And most of you know enough Scripture by heart to quote it. But even if you don't, you can tell someone that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead to save them. And when you give them those truths and those principles, you are indeed giving them something that was directly birthed in and based on the Scripture. That's where it came from. And that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God promised that that Eve would have a seed. The promised seed would come. It's woven all. You don't have to get to Romans 10:13 to have a scripture verse to tell somebody how to get saved. It's all through this book. All through it, from Genesis to Revelation, okay? And so the Bible says, Paul's reliving his visit to Thessalonica, and he says, man, when I came unto you, I came unto you in word. He had the right word. He had the right message based on the scripture. He had the word, but that is not all he had. He had something else along with the word. Look at it in verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, okay? So he had the word. But look what it says. But also in power and in the Holy Ghost. So what did Paul have? He had the word and he had the power. And I should put it this way. He had the right word and he had the right power. Okay? The right word and the right power. So he said he had the gospel and it came in word. But it also came in power. And he's very specific about what power. The power that is in the Holy Ghost. So the power he is talking about is distinctly from the Holy Spirit. So that means Paul gave the gospel according to the scripture. He had the right word based and birthed in the scripture, and he gave it in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, this would be the power that was promised by the Father that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Okay? Now, look, the combination of the right word and the power of the Spirit brought great results in Thessalonica. It says there a great multitude was saved, of the chief women not a few. Now, what we want to see happen next week is we want to see great things happen in the hearts of God's people. We may not have, this is not a meeting for unsaved people. I don't recall if we had anybody saved during the 5 days last year. That's not the purpose or thrust of this meeting. But folks, nonetheless, you still want the Word of God to bring great results in the hearts of God's people next week. It did last year. And we want it to again this year. I want it to bring great results in my heart. I've told you before. I preached enough, and I reiterated this to the brother up in Madison, Wisconsin last week, because he was so blessed with the Monday night service. He was just so blessed. And I told him, I said, Brother Weiss, I have been to enough places and preached enough years in different places to know that so much of what happens in a service depends not on the speaker, but on the listener. Now, I'm not minimizing the importance that the speaker has his heart ready. He needs to be close to God. He can't be dirty. He's got to be clean. He's got to be walking with the Lord. And he needs to get the mind of the Lord for the message and not just preach some sugar stick. He needs to get the... But I want to tell you something, folks. Go to your Bible. Look at your Bible examples. I know I've done this before, but let me reiterate it to you again. You won't find a more faithful man than Ezekiel, who was called upon to do some of the most unbelievable things that anybody was asked to do. For instance, his wife died in the evening and God commanded him to preach in the morning. Other things, laying on the left side of his body for 100 and some odd days, I think it was. I mean, just unbelievable. What Ezekiel was asked to do. What were the results like? Minimal to nothing. Because God said, I'm sending you to preach to a people whose foreheads are like an adamant stone, like a flint, and their heart like an adamant stone, and they're not going to listen to you. In fact, they're going to make faces at you, but at least they'll know there's been a prophet among them. So outward results, inner results, any kind of results Ezekiel had, zippo. But you won't find a more faithful man. Jonah is a backslidden prophet who runs from God, tries to run from the presence of the Lord, ends up in the belly of the whale, has to cry out to God from the belly of hell. He cried it, deliver me. He gets puked up by the whale, smells like fish puke, and goes to Nineveh, and the whole city gets converted. A backslidden preacher. So it kind of sounds like to me that what happens in a service or a meeting might have more to do with what the hearts of the people who are listening than sometimes the hearts of the guy. I think sometimes preachers get too much credit, too much blame. If you have a great service, the preacher, the host, pastor, man, you hit the ball out of the park tonight. And if it's not out of the park, well, he wasn't on his game tonight. It's not about hitting it out of the park, and it's not about being on my game. It's about God's word and God's spirit working in hearts. That's what it's about. And we will play a great part in this, folks. Just being ready. Just being ready for the thing to take place, okay? Now, I want you to, the combination of the Word, the right Word, and the right power brought great results. Now, I want you to give, let me give you two or three things to think about, and then we're going to pray. Think about this. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 11, this is what Jesus just told, the story of the sower and the seed and the soil, okay? And so they say, tell us about this parable. Here he is, Luke 8, 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So in the parable, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word. The seed is the Word. Now, you think of what is going on in the next few weeks in this area. Farmers will go to the field and they will plant seed. Good seed. Expensive seed. Okay? They'll put that in the ground. But friend, let me tell you something. If it does not rain... Okay, and I don't think we got that problem, okay? But in a dry year, if it does not rain, the seed will not germinate. And I've seen that in my garden in years gone by when it was a lot drier than it is this year. Go out there and plant the okra seed and then go out, you know, a few days later and what's coming up? Nothing's coming up. And go out a few days later and, boy, the plants I planted, the plants that I bought, the tomato plants and the cucumber plants, those type of things maybe doing well. But the seed, there's no green coming up out of that row. And after sometimes weeks, it's just too big and it's too far from the house to water. I'm not going to fool with that. If God doesn't send it, we just won't get it. And so I go out there and rake back that old cloddy, dried up soil. And there lays that okra seed in the same condition that as it was when I put it in the ground. It hadn't germinated. There's nothing popping out of that thing. There's no greenery coming out. It's not split open. You know why? As good a seed as that was, it has to have rain to bring forth fruit. The combination is the seed and rain. Okay? Now, the Bible uses rain to teach us about the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 72:6, He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. So here's what I'm saying. You got the combination next week of seed and what we need with the seed, because they're bringing the right Word. They're bringing the right Bible. They wouldn't preach if they didn't have the right Bible. Okay? And by the way, they're bringing a Bible. And not an iPad. They're bringing a Bible and not some electronic device. They want that. Now, I said, did I tell y'all about that? I called Brother Denny. I said, Brother Coral, I said, listen, I want to run something by you because I don't want to. That's going to, you know, I don't want to offend you without, but I didn't think I would. I said, I'd like to write all these men a letter because I'm hearing now, folks, that. We got people taking electronic devices to the pulpit without a book and preach it. I don't even like to see you bring it to church like that. You can carry an iPod and an iPad and anything else that I don't understand. You can take that through any restaurant, through any place, and never turn anybody's head. But you can't carry that book through a place without somebody. And I don't think that thing ever powers down. It's ridiculous. I found the... Can you hear Hilkiah? I found the iPad. That won't even preach. Man, I found the book preaches, huh? I found the iPad. What in the world? It's ridiculous. So anyway, I'm getting off course here. I wrote him. I said, Brother Coral, I'd like to write these men and tell them I don't care if they bring their notes on an iPad to the pulpit, but I want them to have God's Word up there in a book form to preach from.
You tell them, don't even bring an iPad, don't even bring notes. You tell them to bring paper notes.
I said, okay, I think you're okay. We're on the same page here, I think.
I don't want that.
You hadn't eaten that day, I don't think. Amen. It was growling around. So, but they're going to bring the right seed. And folks, you say, well, won't the Bible be good enough without the Holy Spirit? Oh, the Bible's fine, but it does so much more when the rain comes. Does that make sense to y'all? It does so much more when the rain comes. So it does so much more when the rain comes. Now, think about this. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Bible is a sword. We know that. Bible is a sword that's sharp. Bible is a sword that's powerful. But now remember this in Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, and he's talking about the preaching of the Bible because Peter mentioned a bunch of Old Testament scriptures out of the book of Joel, right? Now when they heard this, that's the word, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We saw that Sunday. We saw that Sunday in our class. How do you get saved? It's unbelievable. That's what they said. So Peter preaches, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Well, you know, I think something happened on that day before Peter preached that message. I think there was a cloven tongues of fire and a great mighty wind. And then some days later, Acts chapter 5, and we are his pricked. Pricked, that's cut. Okay? That's cut. Acts chapter 5, 32 and 33, and we are his witnesses. This is Peter again of these things. What's he talking about? The things he just preached in chapter 5, which again had Old Testament scripture. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Okay? They had preached the word, and with the Spirit's power being demonstrated, they were not only pricked in their hearts in Acts chapter 2, they were cut to the heart in Acts chapter 5. So the Bible is a sharp sword that is made even sharper by the power of the Holy Spirit. The sharpest knife I ever handled in my life was up in Kotzebue, Alaska, when Brother Woodward and I went up there to visit Bob Mace, who's now in heaven. And Bob is an outdoorsman, and we had a knife or two, and he was sharpening our knives for us, and he had a knife, and it was already just unbelievably sharp, and he was working on it some more. Brother Woodward said, "Let me see that knife." Brother Woodward was playing with it, and I said, "You gonna get cut." He kept playing with it. He got cut. That's the sharpest knife I ever saw. I mean, honestly, it was incredibly sharp. Now look, that book in and of itself is a very sharp, sharp instrument right there. But when the Holy Ghost comes, somehow, some way, folks, it puts another edge on that thing. That's the combination. You with me? Okay. Now think about this. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So the Bible's a light. The Bible's a lamp, a light. Now, we know that. It's a wonderful lamp and a wonderful light. And there are times when just reading it for devotions and having a decision to make and not even thinking about the decision. But the entrance of His Word gives light, and God turns the light switch on. And it's like, woohoo, man. Now I can see. Okay. Well, this is before the days of electricity. What does a lamp or light need? It needs oil. Matthew 25, 3 and 4, those foolish virgins took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You know that the Bible uses oil as a symbol of the Holy Ghost. So again, the combination is the lamp and the oil. You with me tonight? The combination is the seed and the rain. And the combination is the sword and the stone, the Arkansas stone that puts another little edge to that. Feathers it out. The combination is the lamp and the oil. That's the combination. Now here's what we need to pray for tonight. We know that the word will be preached. But folks, if it's word only, it will not have the effect that word and power will have. Are you with me tonight? Understand what I'm saying? So we want to pray tonight. We know the word will be preached, so we're going to have the seed, we're going to have the sword, we're going to have the lamp in and of itself do great things. But if the seed has rain, and the sword has a sharper edge, and the lamp has plenty of oil, we can see great things in the hearts of God's people. And we did last year in a couple of free services. All of them were good. But there are three or four times when the Holy Ghost came. Holy Ghost came in power during the missions conference. Brother Ed Johnson Sunday night, and Brother Sam Bunnell Wednesday morning. I wrote Brother Sam Bunnell's mom and dad. I said, I just want you to know that as a church, we thoroughly enjoy supporting your son Andrew and his wife Sarah over in England, have for all these years. I just want you to know that the Holy Ghost of God visited our missions conference through Brother Ed Johnson's message on Sunday night, through your son's message on Wednesday morning. It came. Holy Ghost came. It showed up. He showed, not yet. He showed up. Now we had the word and we had the power. We had the seed and the rain. We had the sword and the stone to make it sharper. We had the light and we had the oil. Now we know we're going to get the seed, the sword, and the lamp. And it'll do great things. But if the seed has rain and the sword has a sharper edge and the lamp has plenty of oil, good things could happen. Good things could happen in my heart, your heart, and the hearts of... I've gotten phone calls every day this week from people who are coming that I didn't know were coming. That's a blessing. Phone calls from pastors today looking for places to stay or at motels. But I don't know. Maybe it'd be a great crowd, better than last year. I don't. You know what? I'm really not concerned about the crowd. I'm concerned about the cloud. That's what I'm concerned about. Because, you know, if the Holy Ghost comes in power, folks, it won't matter how many people are here. Because He does such wonderful things in our hearts, who cares? Oh, you just wish there were more to have the effect. Amen? But we want to pray to that end tonight. Now think about these verses. We're done. John 14, 12. Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus had the word. In fact, he was the word. But he said, I'm going to my Father. He said in 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, if I go away, I will send him unto you. So Jesus said, now get ready. I'm going to the Father, and the Holy Ghost is coming, and power. You're going to have the word, and you're going to have the power. Jesus said, greater works are going to result because I'm going to my Father. Greater works are going to happen because I'm going to my Father, and the oil is coming. I'm going to my Father, and the rain is coming. I'm going to my Father, and the sharpener is coming. That's what he said, John 14, 16. All right? So, the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, comes as a result of his coming, greater works, Jesus said. Now, folks, that's hard to comprehend, but that's what he said. He told the disciples, you're going to do greater works. So let me ask you a question. I mean, 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 saved on the 3 or 4 days later. Pretty soon they're so big they don't know what to do. I don't think that took place in Jesus' ministry. I'm going away. Holy Ghost is coming. Now you're not going to just have the word. And I understand Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. But I'm just telling you, he sent the Holy Ghost in power on the day of Pentecost. And brother, something wonderful happened in the New Testament church. Now, there's a lot of power in the Word of God. But for reasons known only to God, the Holy Spirit makes the power of the Word of God more powerful. So when we pray tonight, we want to pray that the rain accompanies the seed, that the oil fills the lamp, that the stone sharpens the sword. Y'all with me tonight? We want to pray 1 Thessalonians 1:5, that the Bible, the messages, come not to us in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. This is D.L. Moody, who, you know, I'm not going to belabor the story, time to pray, but this is D.L. Moody, who was told by those two ladies that he needed the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't even know what it was. And from what I've read, if what I've read is accurate, invited them to his study or his home or something to talk to him about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And they talked to him. And God started a fire in his heart for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what happened after that? The fire, the great Chicago fire came. And he lost his church building. Lost that in the fire. But he'd been praying for the Holy Spirit's fire, the Holy Spirit power, the Holy Spirit power in his ministry. And he went out east to raise some money to Philadelphia. And I am almost sure that Remington was involved in that. And John, forget his last name, Wanamaker, John Wanamaker. They visited all these rich folks in Philadelphia and New York City, asking for money to rebuild Moody's Church. And they spent the day in New York City asking money to rebuild the church. And Moody said he was walking down Wall Street. He'd been praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. He'd been praying, God, fill me with your Spirit. And he said the power of the Holy Spirit came on him in such a way that he had to go to a friend's house and ask for a private room. Let me just get in there and spend some time alone. So the joy was just overwhelming. And he came back. Now listen to this. He preached the same messages. Instead of having one saved, have 10 saved. Instead of 5 saved, have 15 saved. Same messages. He had the word. But when the rain comes on the seed, when the oil fills the lamp, and when the stone sharpens the sword, greater works. Greater works. That's what I'd like to see happen. I just happen to believe that the days of, and boy, did God ever confirm that in my heart on Sunday, the days of the Holy Spirit of God doing great works are not over. They're not over. So that was just an emotional outburst. Well, tell me, when's the last time you heard an emotional outburst like that? Now, there's about 5 or 6 of us that were in that room. So I'm not just talking to me, Brother Caleb, but two or three others you that were in there. You witnessed that. I'm going to tell you something. That's the Spirit of God working. That's what that is. And what I'm telling you, we got the right word. Now we want to not have the word only. We'd like to see the rain fall next week. Amen. I'd like to see the rain stop literally, practical, physical rain, and the Holy Ghost rain come. Amen. In a good way. Let's pass these out, fellas, if you would, please. Now, look, do this tonight. Don't get on your knees or, you know, sit in your pew. Lord, please bless Brother So-and-so, Brother Rosso, in Jesus' name, amen. That's not what this is praying time's for. This is specific praying. Lord, bless this preacher. He's coming. Call his name. He's coming with the right word. He's coming with the right Bible. He's coming with the right message. Would you please fill him with the Spirit? There's not enough for one per person. Just we need to divide up, okay? Divide up. There's about one per prayer group. That's what there is. That's all there is, about one per group. But your group should have one of these papers, maybe two at the most, and hopefully a prayer list that you had earlier. And we're going to pray for a few minutes, and then we'll be done, and I'll get up and we'll finish the announcements and be ready to go, okay? So after that, we're in good shape. We're in good shape. So take a minute now, get up one of these pieces of paper. Give them all out if there's more than for groups. Just give them all out to people. You should have the names of two of the preachers coming next week on there. And I hope that you'll take some time, along with all these other names that we added a little bit ago, and pray for these two men, the men that you have in your hand there. Okay? And you know why you're doing that, folks? Pray for your own heart. Ask God to prepare your heart. God, what do I need? You know, wouldn't it be a blessing to get some just real encouragement real quick? Next week, just some encouragement from one of the messages next week. It could be there if you're ready to receive it. All right? We get them out, fellas? Anybody need one? Got them out. Okay, let's have prayer together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.